I saw in the book that I thought was kind of strange. You talked about saturated fats and how saturated fats are used to build testosterone, cholesterol used cholesterol to build testosterone. Could you talk about that? Because I was kind of surprised. I mean, generally, saturated fats are not viewed so positively. And so, especially as we get older, would that help to keep the testosterone up?
Yeah, so one of the axioms of biology is that the dose creates the effect. And that's true with both the dose creates the poison and the dose creates the magic. And that's really the core of biological optimization. And that includes saturated fats. And interestingly, I've been doing a variety of nutrigenomic tests, and one of them revealed I don't have good genetics for saturated fats. And that's coming for a guy that's been on a high saturated fat, high animal saturated fat diet for about 30 years. And the truth is, one of the things I've struggled to fix has been my lipid profile. So now I'm eating leaner cuts and I'm adding a lot more olive oil. And the truth is, you don't need that much cholesterol to produce testosterone. Like 2 eggs a day probably gives you all the cholesterol you need to naturally produce a healthy amount of testosterone. And there's a lot of other things you can use to boost testosterone naturally. We're working on some very powerful, we call it, Superman system, man stacks. We're trying to really hyper optimize testosterone naturally. And as we get older, that becomes more and more challenging. And I was on TRT for what, 6 years, and I've been off for several years, and I'm back to where I was before, and let's see how high I can get. But yeah, I do find personally that when I bump my saturated fat intake, my testosterone tends to go up, but you don't need that much. And I think for anybody listening that's on a ketogenic diet, I think a lot of people need to be mindful of saturated fats. And if you look at the literature on saturated fats and fatty liver, for an example, it can be a problem if you eat too much of it. And if you look at, saturated fat and other issues, it can definitely be a problem. So I think it's just about the dose. How much do you need depends, I think, on your genetics and depends on, how much you burn and how much what's your total calorie intake? So again, I'm shifting a lot of my fats more to olive oil now, personally.
Yeah, on a
Interesting.
plant-based side, you want to make sure that you're getting enough essential fatty acids in order to for a variety of hormone formation. So, and thanks to my relationship with Matt, him being an expert in both intellectually and experientially, because there's a difference between what the literature says and what happens in application. Oftentimes, the science follows up on what was discovered on the cutting edge of, athletic performance in gyms and high performers. And that was an area that I had to concentrate on. So I had to search the world to find the right essential fatty acids in order to supplement, because on a plant-based diet, a lot of times you don't have these, the DHAs and the, the EFA profile that you need. So I supplement specifically with some elements in that area that's really great to make sure that I have enough. And I feel the difference, So feeling good is probably the best indicator of if things are working or not. And I know that sounds so subjective, but I believe that we have millions of years of evolutionary technical capabilities in our biology that supersedes the best technology that we have. We can only augment that. And I think you want to correlate how you feel with the data, so that eventually, just on how you feel, you know where that data is probably going to show up.
And we'll add too that we've done thousands of experiments. We have a lab in Bosnia. The last 2 years, we've done thousands of experiments on fats, testing every type of seed oil. We're looking at fatty acid profile. We're testing, algae oils, krill oils. And it's a very, very deep universe. And kind of the deeper I get, the more humbled I feel. And the good news is we're working on what we believe will be a revolutionary omega-3 solution, hopefully later this year. there's a lot of problems with a lot of omega-3 products because of the esterification of the oils, which, you know, when people talk about seed oils, you know, there's a lot of hate and there's a lot of attacks on seed oils. But if you ask most people why, what's the problem, they won't know the answer. But one of the main issues is something called MDA, maldialdehyde. And that is cytotoxic. You can look at the literature. It's well documented. But the reality is, when we looked at all these seed oils, a lot of them don't have any issues with them. And there's also the quality, and the quality matters a great deal. And again, what we discovered and was kind of unexpected, we were testing algae oils. And we found certain algae oils, and actually they had the highest EPA out of all of them. It was killing all the cell cultures. We did a lot of cell culture experiments. And then we discovered, well, it's the esterification of the oils that's creating MDA, again, maldialdehyde, down the pipeline, and that's annihilating all the cells. So again, it's just been a really long journey, and we just had a huge breakthrough a few days ago. So we're coming to a conclusion, but I think EPA, DHA are important. And I think, again, there's certain fatty acids in olive oil, for an example, that are really powerful. And I think there's a lot more to discover as we, you know, discover things like fatty 15. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new, you know, fatty acid with 15 carbons. There's, of course, C60. So it's a deep world. And I think we're just starting to scratch the surface of it. But I think there's a lot of big breakthroughs on the way.
One more question, kind of on this kind of nutrition area. Protein, right? Especially as we get, so I noticed that one of the key kind of metrics for your diets is protein. You said start off with protein and then look at that. But as we get older, we absorb protein less well. We need more of it, potentially. What do you think is the best way to have protein? I mean, does the timing matter? I mean, should you get it as whole food, as whey, as pea, as essentially amino acids? What is the best way to absorb it?
Well, I want to keep weight up on the protein sources, but, you know, just to lay context, one of the things we know that happens with age is our hydrochloric acids go down, our enzymes go down, and everybody's talking about protein, which is not really accurate. What we want is amino acids. So Wade, take it away.
Yeah. So there's 22 amino acids that our body uses out of quote unquote protein. And as Matt illustrated, that goes through a digestive process. First, the interaction with the enzymes, then the hydrochloric acid, which will activate some enzymes, deactivate others, and then your microbiome. And you want to have a high proliferation of positive probiotics that are proteolytic. And that means that they break down protein, because essentially we live in a symbiotic relationship between our bacteria, and without them, we're all dead. And as we age, or as we get more exposed to toxins in the environment, or we get more exposed to use antibiotics or things like that for, you know, various illnesses, we tend to damage our microbiome, and it's harder to build back those proteolytic probiotics, which are so essential, or we don't have enough hydrochloric acid to help separate and cleave those key amino acids, especially in that, you know, first, you know, that hour after enzymes, or we don't have enough enzyme, proteolytic enzymes, enzymatic capacity in the body diminishes over time. So I believe that supplementing with digestive aids is probably one of the fastest ways to improve your protein absorption, or your mm-hmm. essentially your amino acid absorption, converting your protein to amino acids. The second thing is 4 protein servings a day, whether that's plant-based, animal-based, in between, whatever you want to do. The other thing is, that can be a shake, is easy. Like, for example, my parents were getting aged. They're up in their late 70s. And I started to notice their muscle mass was going down. My mom had some tests and her bones up. And I said, look, why don't you substitute your middle meal? Because they just weren't eating a lot of protein. Add a protein shake at lunch. Now, my dad did that. And he's like, wow, I feel a lot stronger now that I'm doing that. So he has a traditional breakfast. I moved him away from cereal and put him on eggs and bacon because he likes both of those things. I said, cut the toast, cut the cereal, have the eggs and bacon. Your second thing, have your shake. And in the evening, they usually have a little piece of meat and some plant-based stuff or some, like, you know, vegetables and things like that. And so that's made a big difference in their life. And they're in their late 70s. They're not on any hormone treatments. So those key elements. Now, pre-workout, I use just really clean amino acids that I like. I really feel the difference, and I'm in my 50s, and I really feel the difference if I take those amino acids. I take 10 to 20 grams of amino acids before I work out, and that just gets converted really quickly. And I notice the performance difference when I'm in an athletic. It's even more pronounced on an endurance-based. So if I'm going for a run for 45 minutes or an hour, and I'll take 20 grams of amino acids. If I'm going for a workout, I'll do 10. And going back to what Matt illustrated earlier, I have that, you know, 2.5 grams of leucine as well to activate that mTOR. So I get that anabolic response. And far as plant-based versus animal-based, just to conclude, a lot of people say, hey, well, you can't get enough protein on a plant-based diet, or you can't get all the full, you know, full spectrum protein. 9 essential amino acids are, we don't manufacture. That's why they call them essential amino acids. We have to get them for a diet. And virtually all plants have those essential amino acids. Now, where the criticism is accurate is most people on a plant-based diet don't eat enough volume of protein. They're getting all the amino acids, like from a profile, but they're not getting enough volume. So if you're on a plant-based diet, supplementing with a plant-based protein, I've been doing that for years. It works really well. If you're on an animal-based one, supplementing with a protein shake can really help as you age, because it doesn't take much. And forget that stuff they sell you at the drugstore or the doctor gives you. It's garbage. It's a scam. It's a pet peeve of mine that they give to, you know, patients with cancer or older people, these like boxes of goop and garbage. Go to your sports nutrition store, walk in as a 75 or 80 year old and go in there and say, I need the best protein for my diet. They'll find you something that's really great, and you'll get way better results than what your doctor gives you.
Right. So from your supplements, like Masszymes is the main one that you would, so would you take that with protein? So you have your protein shake and you take Masszymes at the same time?
Yeah, one of the things you can do, which we talk about in the book, which is something that has actually scientific evidence behind it, not a lot of people do it, is a intra-workout shake. People know about the pre-workout, they know about the post-workout, but there's been experiments done where people drink hydrolyzed amino acids while they're training and they'll get more results. Now, Wade actually just drinks straight aminos, but what you can do, which I've done many, many times, is you mix your protein shake, whatever your favorite type of protein powder is, you can throw in some fruits, and then open up 3 capsules of Masszymes, blend it up, and then start sipping it. And you mix it maybe 30 minutes before your workout, and then just sip it throughout your workout. And you're going to notice the taste changes significantly as it converts the protein into amino acids. So your body, as soon as you're done a set of resistance training, your muscle starts recovering immediately. So you can, if you can have enough amino acids in the system right after a set, or again, during a set and just during your workout, you're going to get better results. So yeah, we're big fans of using Masszymes, again, post-workout, intra-workout. And I don't know if you saw the recent data that came out on that 100 grams of protein post-workout that showed that you can get better results. And that's something that, you know, old school bodybuilders could have told you, but, you know, we finally have evidence of it.